Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we have a request. If you are really enjoying what we do here on the Internet Marketing Podcast, then if you could, please leave us a review on iTunes or your podcast app, of course. That would be fab. It really helps us to grow the podcast and ensure we bring you great marketing tips and advice each week. Now, today I'm joined by Scott Dubois, founder of Pedalia. Have I said that right? Have I said your surname right, Scott, even?
It's actually Scott Dubois, but that's quite all right, Andy. Thanks for having me today.
Dubois. I was going for the French sort of pronunciation, wasn't I? Dubois. I do apologize. Scott Dubois. And I know that we spoke about this before we actually rolled, but please, can you tell us the story about how your company got its name?
Sure. So we were really set. We thought we had a great name for the agency. And of course, you go through the things like patent and trademark, getting the .com, the Facebook and the Twitter handle. We had all but one of them. We didn't have the .com. And the unfortunate part was that this was about 29 days before we launched the agency. We went out and actually hired a law firm that handles aftermarket domain name negotiations. Couldn't come to an agreement with the person who had it. It was a little bit of an outrageous sum. And so we said, well, when we're first starting the business, there are better places we can spend this money. And so we were sitting around, the office, the co-founders, and talking through things. And my business partner, who leads our, creative team and engineering team, is, talking about things, how we're a different agency. You peel back the layers of the onion. And he gets to the point where he's, really loves onions. And I love Vidalia onions. And, a second later, what if we put a P in front of that?
Yeah.
Being the geeks we are, we all whip out our iPhones, right? And Google Pedalia. Google says, did you mean Vidalia? And we thought we were onto something. So of course we move on, work with our attorney at Clear's Patent and Trademark and the like, and there Pedalia was born.
That's fantastic. Because you've got an extensive background in information technology, haven't you? Tell us a bit about that.
Absolutely. So, we're interesting in that we definitely come at this from a technology perspective. So while we're at the intersection of technology and communication, technology drives it. So whether that's, developing custom web applications or microsites to help, financial services and communication, whether that's for nonprofit organizations, really analyzing their data, finding what trends are happening, and then how you apply that in a way that actually moves the needle, whether that's engagement, whether that's donations. Technology has a play in all of our engagements. And that's really both myself and my co-founder come at it from the tech side.
Now, I want to talk today about, the topic of today is your audience and what it means to you. And I think a good starting point is data. How do you use customer data in campaign planning?
Sure. So what it's really about is a lot of times we'll hear data, you hear the terms big data, and while there is so much out there, I think oftentimes what's lost, where the focus isn't, is where, okay, all of this data is available, but let's talk about data that will actually move the needle. And so it's understanding data that actually matters. And so, at the outset, a lot of times we have, things like, a name and contact information, but what are other things that you can do to group things? So, a lot of times if you're in the, direct, if it's a consumer brand, we're looking about past buying patterns, whether that's how often they buy, how much they spend. But there are other things that you can do as a group, right? And it could be something as simple as gender or age group that allow you to version and change things in a way that actually drives lift or drives impact. And so we'll talk, more in depth about that. But really, you don't want to lose sight of, well, while there's a wealth of data often, and you can even get into augmenting that through different data sources, really look at a campaign and, of course, measure, because this is all data driven in real time. You have the luxury of pivoting, right? And as marketers, we'd love to think that, oh, everything we do is a home run and we hit it 100% of the time. But the reality is that's not just true. It's about measuring that and reacting to that because it's digital, because you can pivot. You want to go ahead and do that. So really look at data that actually will move the needle for a campaign.
I mean, there's a lot of data you can look at, isn't there? What would you say are the main groups of data that you should be sort of paying attention to?
Sure. And it's going to depend client by client. But what we find in, for instance, we'll talk about the financial services industry. We find that gender matters. We find that age matters a lot. And so when you're trying to drive decisions, whether that's toward retirement savings, whether that's on the insurance side of financial services, right? Whether you're talking about do they own a home or not? That's another driver. Mm-hmm. So there are many things you can do there. Now, on the nonprofit side, certainly income matters. But there are two things that we find that you wouldn't think of as well. And so the first is affinities, right? And so affinities could be things like, okay, I'm interested in health organizations, I'm interested in sports. And some of those affinities have weird correlations to donors, and it's interesting. And then the other one is political party affiliation. And so as we get out and analyze for our nonprofit clients, we kind of categorize them into 10. Beyond 10, it just doesn't matter. The groups get too small, and that's a danger too, where you just segment too much and it becomes uncontrollable. But we're finding more and more political affiliation matters on the nonprofit side. So I'd say you could look at that per vertical industry, but those are a couple of industries, at a high level of where we see data making a meaningful impact.
Now, these sort of things, internet marketing, web marketing is very sort of campaign driven. How do you sort of use data to decide timing in the campaign?
Yeah, so the data is going to determine timing based upon what they've done in the past. And so that's where you can have, reactive data. And so what I mean is that's going to drive follow-up. So what you want to know is how your audience is engaging with you. And there's a concept that I like to talk about, which is horizontal data. And so oftentimes, right, folks will get into, I have a list of 5,000, I have a list of 50,000 or 5 million. And if the list only has contact information and maybe email address and a phone number, that's great, but it doesn't necessarily do you a lot of good. And so if you can tack on things like, okay, they're actually, take that email address, for instance, they are part of our email marketing system. Have they actually opened an email, right? Because if you're continuing to send email, somebody hasn't unsubscribed, but they also never open it. Well, that touch point may not matter. You may want to push that through to a call center. You may want to move them into direct mail. And so when we talk about timing, we actually want to look at historically how people react to things and then use that as a driver. Oftentimes, you have that drip campaign mentality that we're all familiar with. That data is going to drive how the follow-up happens. So from that perspective, that's where you want to think about it in terms of campaign timing.
Now, once a campaign has been launched, I'm just thinking about the flow of data or the observation, if you like, of data sort of once it's launched, what sort of things should you be looking for?
Sure. So first and foremost, you want to make sure that the behavior is as you thought. We talked about your ability to adapt and pivot. So you want to make sure that what is happening is actually what's expected, and then figure out if there needs to be a pivot or not. Yeah. But what you can do there too, once a campaign has launched, is if you see particular lift in a group where you weren't expecting it, you can actually then apply that to other groups. And I'll give you an example. Let's say that you have a breakdown, and it's a very simple breakdown. We'll use three groups of data, right, to keep it nice and simple. So we'll talk about age, we'll talk about income, and we'll talk about gender. And so if, for instance, you saw a lift in females who made more than $75,000 per year and were past buyers, you almost might wonder, well, hey, would those correlations happen for females who maybe made in the grouping under 75 or made, was in the $75,000 to $100,000 range? And you can actually adapt that on the fly. You can actually segment that too. You can say, okay, well, I'm going to test drive this with 30% of the audience. And it may be that one of those triggers, right, whether it's the gender trigger, might apply to bigger groups. And that would actually let you expand that and actually have a greater weight than the income trigger.
You mentioned the sort of the acquisition of this data sort of during a campaign and sort of making sort of mid-campaign adjustments to things. I'm just wondering, generally, do you think it's better to be reactive or proactive in marketing?
Yes, that's a very hard question to answer. Right? As far as I'm concerned, the answer is yes. Right. It's both. Right. Especially where when you talk about data, once a campaign has launched, you want to make sure that behavior is as expected and then allows you to continue to adapt. So I think the true answer is yes.
So if you had any key takeaways for our audience today, Scott, what would they be?
Sure. So, Andy, I think there are really two of them when it comes down to data in both the planning and execution stage. And so that is one, that using data is an ongoing effort. And it's really important because today we've talked about it in the sense of a campaign, singular, right? But what you really want to do is take that horizontal database concept that we talked about earlier and expand it to the next campaign. All too often, I find folks that will, you know, use data and enrich it and learn things about a campaign, but then it doesn't drive forward. It's never brought through to the CRM. It's never brought through to purchasing systems or whatever companies or organizations are doing so that data can further be refined. You want to continue to learn more about whether it's your customers, your donors, folks you're engaging with. They could be volunteers in the nonprofit space. You want to continue to learn more about them. So data is an ongoing effort, and that's a real key. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is not to overcomplicate the process, right? And so in the example you gave before, I talked about three data points. And with those three data points, you can segment. But imagine, you know, a list of 50,000 folks. If you overcomplicate it and all of a sudden you're talking about eight different data points and within those data points you have six different variables, well, you're talking about groups that are pretty small, right? I mean, we've seen before when we've gotten involved in engagements, you know, groups just down to, you know, 10 to 15 folks. And while that can be really personalized, if you truly have on the execution side, which is what we're not talking about today, but that might work, but chances are, and oftentimes it doesn't. So don't overcomplicate it. Really make sure that you look at things so that you can bite and segment both in the planning stage and in the execution stage for things that actually are going to move the needle. So just don't overcomplicate this approach. Really make sure that it matters when you get into the segmentation.
Well, Scott, thanks so much for coming on. How can our listeners find out more about you, more about Pedalia?
Sure. Well, I think the easiest place would be a special landing page we've set up for your listeners. So if you go to Pedalia.com, Pedalia.com/internetmarketingpodcast, there'll be a landing page where we'll review and you know, just kind of have an overview of what we chatted about today. And of course, there's ways to connect with me there on that landing page. And you can find me on Twitter at Scott Dubois or just a quick search on LinkedIn. We'll return my bio as well. But certainly I'd encourage your listeners to visit that landing page. And there are a whole bunch more ways to connect and continue the conversation.
That's fantastic. And just for our listeners, that is PIDALIA.com/internetmarketingpodcast. That's brilliant. Thank you very much. And thank you, listeners, for listening. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. If you want to email us, it's podcast@sitevisibility.com. You can tweet us at sitevisibility. And don't forget the Site Visibility group over on LinkedIn. That's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Scott.
Thanks, Andy.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.